Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva the Verve!
There exists in German folklore the myth of the doppelganger. Doppelganger literally means a double goer. It's a spiritual double or an apparition of a person that comes into existence the moment that you're born. And the idea is that this doppelganger will kind of grow up alongside of you, even though you'll never know that it exists. And it feeds off of the evil inside of you. The doppelganger will sometimes impersonate you, like when you're not around, and will cause all kinds of trouble. And maybe if you've ever left something somewhere and you know exactly where you left it, but you come back and it's not there anymore, maybe your doppelganger moved it when you weren't around. The myth goes on to say that for a person to see their doppelganger face to face, eye to eye, means that they will surely soon die. And so never look into a dark pool of water. Don't look into a mirror at night. And if you're ever walking down a forest path and another person was walking towards you, do not look them in the face, because to see your doppelganger face to face, it's the curse of death. Now, I don't believe in doppelgangers, but I have come to believe that there is an imposter living inside me. And I don't think this doppelganger came into existence the moment I was born. I don't really know where it came from, but I do have my suspicions. What I believe, and actually the Bible teaches this, what I believe is that every soul needs a safe place to hide. It's interesting, in the opening chapters of the Bible, we see how God creates Adam and Eve. Right? And Adam and Eve come into this world and they're completely innocent. It's a perfectly safe place. It's really just a perfect world for them. But as soon as one thing goes wrong, Adam and Eve's automatic reaction is to hide. And even when they finally do come out of hiding, it's only with fig leaves on to hide behind. Because every soul needs a safe place to hide. You know, you and I, we were born very innocent and probably feeling very safe. And maybe at the beginning for some of us, it was kind of a perfect world. But we all learned the lesson early on in life that this world is not a safe place. And that we would be very wise to find hiding places for our souls, right? We all have different stories, and some are probably more frightening than others. Stories of pain, stories of abuse, of rejection, betrayal, right? And we learn this difficult lesson that this world is not a safe place, and I need somewhere for my soul to hide. I need a safe place. Now, I could tell you stories all day long. I won't, but I grew up with a poor relationship with my abusive father, and I prefer not to talk about it, but he taught me firsthand right away that this world is not safe, and I better find a safe place to hide. Another teacher of this lesson for me was the fact that I moved so often. Like between kindergarten and fifth grade, I think I went to 6 different schools. And at every new school, I knew exactly what would be waiting for me as I walked through that door. No friends, a battle to be accepted, having to prove myself all over again. And it just taught me this lesson that this is not a safe place, that this world is not safe. And so what I did, and I wonder if you did this too, is I created a facade. I created kind of this mask, this doppelganger of sorts. I created this false self that I showed to people. And this false self is perfect. And so there's nothing that you could judge about him, because he doesn't make any mistakes. He has no flaws, no weaknesses. And it wouldn't really matter if you did judge him, because he doesn't care what you think anyway. And so he can't be hurt. He can't be, right? It was kind of like I had early on in life a Dave Matthews moment where it was like, I find sometimes it's easy to be myself. I can't sing. Sometimes I find it's better to be somebody else. Remember that song? Right? And I think we all have that moment where we realize, man, it's better to be somebody else. It's better not to show this world my flaws and my weaknesses because I'll be judged and I'll be hurt and I'll be rejected. And so I'm just going to create this imposter. Now, I'm going to create this mask that you can't judge because he's perfect. And we do it because we want a safe place. And I'm guessing you've done it as well. In fact, my goal today is to take you in front of the mirror and have you stare into it. And I just wonder if you did, how many sets of eyes would be staring back at you? Here's what I've learned. You know, you create this facade because every soul needs a safe place to hide. It's just human, right? That's who we are. And so we create this facade because I want to protect myself and I don't want to be hurt. But what I found is that there are some real negatives to living life this way. There are some real negative consequences to living with a facade. One downside to living life this way is that when people say, "I love you," you can't believe them. Because you're thinking, yeah, but you don't know me. You only know the image I project. Like, if you knew the real me, you would never love me because I'm not what you think I am. And so it's funny, right? We create this facade to protect ourselves, but the result is I can't feel loved by people. And it goes beyond that because I've also realized that another negative consequence is that living with this facade wreaks havoc on my relationship with God. It totally does. See, because what I want with God is this real, authentic, wholehearted love relationship. But my problem is I am so used to being fake with other people and kind of creating this image that when I go to be alone with God, I still do the same thing because I'm just so used to it. And so I don't bring God all of myself, and I kind of hide my imperfections, and I don't let him know that I'm weak and needy, because if I did, what if he rejected me? What if he didn't love me? What if he abandoned me? And so I find myself playing the same game, being a facade with God. I give him the false image too. And I hate that because I know that what God wants is a love relationship with me, authentic, passionate, wholehearted, but because of the facade, I can only love God like with half my heart. It actually reminds me of someone in the Bible. There's this guy in the Bible named David. He was the king, so he's King David. And David had this deal where a lot of times he let the imposter live his life instead of him. He was two people. And so, I mean, if you looked at him, and people did, they would say, man, look at him. He's powerful, sitting on his throne, and he's got his act together. He's respected. He's spiritual. He's a man of God. But the reality was that David was kind of living a false life. And the weight of his duplicity was crushing him. Like, you'd never see that because he didn't present that side of himself. But inside, the weight of his duplicity was crushing him. David actually wrote about this once. We have a book in the Bible called Psalms. And the Psalms are like heartfelt, self-reflective poems and songs that were written to God. And David wrote a bunch of them. And we're going to look at a couple today. If you have a Bible, you can turn to the book of Psalms. And the way you find Psalms is you divide your Bible in half and just open it. And that should be Psalms. If you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible, we give them out for free at the hub table. You can stop by and get one. But in Psalm 32, David writes about just this. He's just being honest for a moment. And he's writing about the fact that he hasn't been real with God. That he's been hiding himself and he's been being this kind of fake thing. And here's what he writes about that in Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. He says, "When I kept silent, you know, when I wasn't honest with God, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." And so the idea is, he's like, God, you want more than for me than half my heart. You want more for me than this facade. You want the real me with my imperfections and weaknesses. And so God, what he does is, it's kind of like he pressures us. He has his hand heavy on us, asking us, inviting us, no, be real with me. Bring all of yourself to me. And David's like, when I refused you, when I just kept kind of playing a game with you? Man, it was like inside, it was just killing me. And I know exactly how he feels. There's a time that came after this where one of David's friends, a guy named Nathan, came to him. And Nathan told David a story. But it's really clever. And basically, the story was to take David in front of the mirror and to have David look in the mirror and to see who he had become, to see that there were two pairs of eyes staring back at him through his reflection. The point of the story was, David, you can try, but you can't really fool yourself, and you certainly can't fool God. And to his credit, David recognized that Nathan was right. And he admitted, man, I've been living two lives here. I'm one person, and then in another context, I'm another person. I've got this imposter, and I can't keep living this way. And the deal is, I can pretend that I'm hiding all this from God, but I mean, God knows everything. David wrote about that in a psalm. Look at Psalm 139. We'll put it up on the screen again. If you have a Bible, you can turn to 139. In the first three verses, David writes this to God. He says, O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. And so he's like, God, I've been faking with you, but I realize, you know, I can't fool you. And what I've realized is that when I live this kind of imposter life, it wreaks havoc on my relationship with God. And it doesn't allow me to feel loved by other people. But not only that, I've also realized that you might reach the state. If you live with this imposter long enough, you might reach the state where you're not sure who is who anymore. Right? If you've been faking for a really long time, you can reach a place where you're like, I don't even know who I am anymore. I heard about these two guys. They were sitting on opposite ends of a bar, and the one guy looks down the bar and he's like, excuse me, are you from Wisconsin? And this other guy's like, yeah, I am from Wisconsin. How did you know that? And this guy says, well, I'm from Wisconsin too, but wait a second, from that brogue in your voice, I'm thinking you're not originally from Wisconsin. You're from Ireland, aren't you? The guy's like, yeah, I am. I am from Ireland. I'm from Dublin, yeah. And this guy goes, I'm from Dublin too. This guy goes, really? I went to Trinity High School. I graduated in 68. First guy says, I went to Trinity High School. I graduated in 68. At which point the bartender sighed and looked at a woman and said, it's going to be a long night. The O'Malley twins are drunk again. Right? But here's the deal. You know, sometimes it's hard enough to know another person, but you can get to a place, if you've been fake for too long, where you're not sure who you are anymore. Where you kind of have a Counting Crows moment and you say, have you seen me lately? Have you seen me? Right? You don't know who you are. I went to a ministry conference years ago, like a pastor's conference, and the big theme of this conference was be you. Like too many pastors, especially young pastors, kind of try to emulate some successful pastor, and they preach like them, and they, you know, kind of lead their church like, just be you. God created you to be you, and so just be you. And I realized at that conference, I'm like, but I'm not exactly sure who that is. I mean, since I was little, because my soul needed a safe place to hide, I created this facade to hide behind, and I showed everyone how perfect I am, and that I'm flawless, and I'm not weak, and I'm not afraid. I don't care what you think of me, and I don't know who I am apart from that. Like, I feel like almost like I've lost myself in this facade. Well, at that conference, I decided I wanted to figure out who I was. And so I started kind of peeling off the layers of cosmetics I had used to form this mask that I showed to the world. And as I went through that process, I came face to face with some scary truths about myself. Like I realized that I don't feel safe around myself unless I'm performing flawlessly. You know, I need for people to think I have my act together and that I'm funny and loving and generous and smart. And when I start to kind of perceive, man, I'm not strong enough to handle this situation. I'm not smart enough to figure this out. I start to feel really uncomfortable because Like, I've kind of bought into this lie, and I need to believe in the facade, too. I also realized that I have more of a drive inside of me to be perfect than I do to be real. You know, it's more important to me to impress other people than just to be authentic with them. And the really scary part that I realized was that that was true with God as well. That when, like, I sat down and prayed with God, it was more important for me to impress God than to just be real with God. And even though I knew God loves me no matter what, and his love is unconditional, and he has this grace for me, I wanted to show him how great I was so he'd be real proud and maybe give me, like, Employee of the Month or something like that. You know, there's a story in the Bible where there's this guy, and he's been sick for a long time, like 38 years sick. And Jesus has this encounter with him, and Jesus says this thing. He asks him this question. He says, "Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well?" And reading that, I always thought, that is the stupidest question. Sorry, Jesus, but seriously? Of course the guy wants to get well. He's sick. What kind of sick or dysfunctional person doesn't want to get well, right? I mean, if you're sick and dysfunctional, you want to get well, right? Maybe not. I mean, let's be honest, maybe not. Because if you're like me, and you've gone a long time with this facade that you live behind, a long time with this mask, and it's become your safe place that you hide behind, and so you don't have to worry about what other people think and if they're going to judge you because they only see the good parts of me, and I don't care what they think anyway because I'm so strong and powerful and perfect, you realize that it might be easier to just stay sick and dysfunctional and not get well than to be well but be vulnerable. It's a really difficult choice. But I did make a choice. I decided that I wanted to be healed. I decided through that conference and just kind of growing with God that I wanted to kind of kill the doppelganger, that I wanted to strip off the mask, and that I wanted to be me. You know, it was almost like I had this Gavin DeGraw moment where I'm like, you know, I'm surrounded by liars everywhere I turn. I'm surrounded by imposters everywhere I turn. I'm surrounded by an identity crisis everywhere I turn. And I just made a decision. I don't want to be anything other than me. It was almost like one of those old westerns. It was like I kind of had this showdown with my doppelganger, and I kind of stared there, and I was like, listen, there's not room enough for both of us in here. One of us has to die. And I made a decision that I was going to kill off this facade, this false me, and just be me. And so this morning, I just wonder about you. You know, are you willing to admit that you have this false self that you've been projecting to the world? Are you willing to admit that you've made a facade the safe place that you hide behind? Are you willing to admit that you have a second self? I've admitted that, but will you? You know, what's really interesting about this second self is that it cloaks itself in denial. It cloaks itself in denial. What it does is it doesn't let you detect its presence. It's kind of its hallmark. And so my guess is for a lot of you right now, maybe some of you are like, huh, I think he's right. I think I've been doing this since I was a little kid, and I've never realized it because you've been in denial your whole life. Some of you right now are going, mm-mm, not me. Sorry for you, buddy, but I'm just not like this. Maybe, but more likely, that's denial. It's denial. You know, what's interesting is from the beginning, it starts out as this protection from pain, right? And so the imposter kind of whispers in your ear. It's like, don't be yourself. Don't be yourself, because if they see that you've got problems, they'll judge you. If they see that you're weak, they won't respect you. If they see that you make mistakes, they'll reject you. Right? And so it says, don't be yourself. And so you start kind of listening to the imposter and you start presenting this false self. But what can happen over time is that it's kind of like the doppelganger takes over. And you lose control to the imposter. It's like more and more, he's the one making the decisions instead of me. And it's like I've become more of my false self than I am who I really am. And you continually have to escalate. The whispers get stronger and they get bigger because the imposter defines himself by what he does. Right? It's not who I really am. It's what I do and how I can impress people. And enough is never enough when you live that way. And so there's more and more lies. You got to get bigger. You got to exaggerate more. You got to lie a little bit more. You got to have this achievement and tell everybody about it because they need to be impressed with you. What's really interesting is we begin with this false me because every soul needs a safe place to hide. And so it begins as a protection from pain. But the interesting thing is, really, I think it causes more pain than it protects us from. Because when you live this way, you just start to deal with, like, guilt, right? Because you know you're living a lie. You know that what everyone's seeing isn't real. And then you just start living with shame, right? Because it's like, man, they have no idea who I really am. They don't know what I really do because I'm not real. And that's pain. And you're alone and you don't have any real love in your life because you've distanced yourself behind this facade. And so the imposter really causes more pain than he protects you from. So are you glad you came? Right? It's like, thanks, Vince. I love the power of positive thinking we get here at Verve. This is so nice. Like, you've really made me feel good about myself. I appreciate that. Thank you. You might be wondering, is this really necessary? Like, do we have to go into all this detail about, you know, how bad we really are and this, you know, I'm pretending I'm great and I'm not? I think it is. And again, I think it is because the imposter is so good at hiding himself from you. And the deal is, in life, and this is just a principle you can just take to the bank, whatever is denied cannot be healed. That's just true. Whatever is denied cannot be healed. And so we need to have the imposter, this facade, kind of shoved in front of our face so it's impossible to deny. So we can see it for what it really is. And we can make the decision to unmask and be really me. The old Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard has a great quote. He says, there comes a midnight hour when all must unmask. There comes a midnight hour when all must unmask. And that's exactly what I want to ask you to do today. I want to challenge you to begin the process today, and it probably will be a process, but to begin the process where you unmask, you step out from behind the facade, you walk out of the imposter's shell, and you allow yourself to be real with people and with God. And I want to tell you how to do that. Okay? I don't want to just encourage you to do that. I want to tell you how, because what I've learned over the years of being with God and kind of making that decision way back at that conference, man, I want to do this. What I've learned is that there is a way to do it. And so I want to share with you how. You guys ready for this? Okay, here's the deal. We create the imposter because every soul needs a safe place to hide, right? There's nothing to feel bad about. That's what it means to be human. And so we need that. And so what we do is we kind of go into hiding. We find our safe place and we hide behind it so no one can judge me and I can feel good about myself and I don't have to worry about, you know, you rejecting me or anything like that. And so how do we get past that? How do we strip off the mask and become real? We make God our safe place. That's how we do it. We make God our hiding place. Because every soul does need a safe place to hide. But instead of hiding behind a facade, what we do is we hide in God. Do you know, this is kind of interesting, that over and over throughout the Bible, God makes an invitation to you. Probably one, I'm guessing, that most of us have never said yes to. And the invitation is, God says, I want to be your safe place. I want to be your hiding place. I want to be your refuge. Will you let me? In fact, over 70 times in the Old Testament alone, God makes that invitation or is pictured as being a safe place for us to hide. Over 70 times. I thought about reading you like 20 of them so you kind of get it, you know, like shoved in your face and be like, okay, I see it. But I'll just read you one. Psalm 31, verses 1 through 5. And this is David again. And he's talking about this decision he came to where instead of putting up this false self that you see, so I'm kind of hiding behind it so you can't judge me or hurt me. I'm going to be real with you. I'm going to be real with people, and you can judge me, and you can hurt me, and I can feel weak, and I can feel afraid, but it's okay because I can run to God and talk to Him about it, and He will be the refuge that protects me and my soul from getting too damaged by you or by life's hurts, okay? So Psalm 31, David writes this. He says, "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me," this means save me, "in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me. And for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth." 70 times God says, "I want to be your refuge so you don't have to hide behind a false self." And then in the New Testament, Jesus comes along and he makes this incredible offer. After God promising for years, "Hey, I'll be a hiding place for you," Jesus comes along and he says, "I'm it. I am that hiding place." And so let me show you one place where he says that. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And we'll put this on the screen as well. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says this. He's making an invitation, and you have to choose. Do you say yes or no? He says, "Come to me, you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, the truth is, it is exhausting to be two people, isn't it? It is exhausting to be two people. And we do. We become weary and burdened through life when I'm trying to pretend I'm something I'm not, and I'm worried about what you think of me, and so I can't let you see my weak. It is exhausting. And so wouldn't it be nice to have rest for your soul? Like, how good does that sound? If that offer is real, if Jesus is real, and that invitation is still available, how nice does it sound to be able to have rest for your soul? And that's exactly what God offers us. And so the truth is that this is a process. It's something you might instantly, right now, you might go, "I understand. Intellectually, I get this." But it's a process we have to go through because it's awkward, right? We're not used to it. We've spent our whole life, our safe place has been the shell of my facade, right? And I'm going to pretend. And so all of a sudden to go, "I'm going to step out from there and I'm going to be real with you. And I'm going to have moments where I recognize this is it." Like, this is the moment. I can either be real and recognize that there's a good chance you're going to judge me and you're going to look down on me and I'm going to lose your respect, or I can be false, I can be fake, and you'll think I'm great, but still I'm living behind a shell, right? And so this is my moment. It's very difficult after years of experience of deciding I'm just going to hide to be authentic and then go to God with whatever feelings that stirred up in us. It's a process. But it starts with a decision, and it's a decision I hope you make today. Like, in a couple minutes, we're going to give you a little bit of time with a song playing and all that, and I hope during that time that you would pray and you would say something like this to God, that you would say, "God, okay," like, "wow, for years, I've been pretending something I'm not. I know you know that, but I've been acting like you don't. I've been being fake with people and with you. I haven't been able to admit that I've got problems, but God, the truth is, I mess up. And I am not close to perfect. God, I'm weak. And I act like like no one can hurt me, but I get hurt. And I'm scared sometimes. And I don't want people to make me feel bad about myself, and so I pretend. And God, I don't want to do that anymore. And I am so thankful for your invitation that I can just be real with people and with you, and that you're going to love me no matter what. And if people judge me, God, I'm just going to turn to you, and I'll pour my heart out to you. And it may be a little embarrassing because I might cry some with you, but I'm going to take that chance. And so, God, honestly, I have trouble picturing what this is going to look like for me. I'm so used to living in a different way. This kind of turns me upside down. But, God, would you help me to start taking steps in a direction that I move out from behind the facade, and I am real with people, and I make you my safe hiding place. And if we can do that, if we can go to God and make that decision and start to let him kind of grow us in that way, we will slowly start becoming real. And we will show our flaws to the world and our weakness. And honestly, it will be awkward. Don't expect it not to be. But it's cool because you know what? You might judge me and you might make me feel bad, but I do still have a safe place to go. Instead of behind my facade, it's to God. And I'll talk to him about how I feel. And he will make me feel better because he is a father who loves me and is perfect and is compassionate and will get me through those tough times. If we do that. If we don't, if you just say, I can't do that, Vince, I'm not capable, or if you just say, I refuse to, I'm just going to keep on being what I am. I'm not real, but I impress people. If we do that, we will stay trapped behind our shell, and we will feel alone, and you will always feel alone, because you know no one really connects with me, no one really knows me, because I'm not real with them. And you'll continue to be riddled with guilt and shame, and you'll feel burdened, and you'll never fully be able to know love, to feel love, to be able to give love, and to feel joy, because you're not really you. I want to encourage you in these next few minutes, and maybe tonight when you get home, maybe take some time to look in the mirror and see how many eyes stare back at you. Are there two sets of eyes? Is there a doppelganger, an imposter that you've been allowing to live your life? And maybe you need to have a showdown and say, you know what? I used you for a long time and you protected me from pain, and I'm recognizing now that you've caused me a lot of pain, but it's time for you to die. I'm going to say yes to God's invitation and live life in a different way as me. So we're going to give you a couple minutes right now to do just that. We do this every week where we just give you a couple minutes just to connect with God. And we really do it as a gift to you. And that's what we're trying to offer you as a gift. Because the truth is, we go so fast, right? As soon as we walk out of here, we got things to do. And we got a million things. We run through life. We run from God. And so just to have a couple minutes where we can just kind of sit with this and say, wait, before I start running, what do I need to do with this? How does this make me feel? What is it inside of me that's kind of rebelling against this whole notion? And really, what this time is a time for you, for every week, for you to do exactly what we're talking about today, to strip the mask and to just stand there before God saying, this is who I really am. This is what I've done. This is what I've struggled with this week. Help me. And could you please continue to love me despite me? And God says yes. And during this time, we also offer communion because it is the greatest sign of the fact that God loves you despite you. Communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood given on the cross for you. And the Bible says that Jesus gave himself for us when we were at our worst. We didn't have to clean ourselves up first. When we were at our dirtiest, God loved us anyway in Jesus. And so we remember that, and we're grateful for that through communion. And so the band's going to come back up, and they're going to play a song, and we're going to give you a couple minutes to just sit and be real with God and take off the mask and stare into the mirror. And if you'd like communion, there's a little station there and there and there and there, and you can go and get bread and juice and bring it back to your seat, and whenever you're ready, if you'd like to do that, you can eat and drink. And so let's pray, and then the band will do a song, and then we'll come up and finish the service. God, the raw truth is that we are we're human beings, and that means we're frail. We don't like that, but we're frail. We're weak, and we're needy. We're not perfect. And that's why our church has this little saying, no perfect people allowed. The idea is, let's not be fake and pretend. We're not. God, every soul needs a safe place to hide. You created us that way because you created us to need you. God, probably for most of us in this room, we've gone through our entire lives having this safe place to hide, being this facade, this perfect image I put out before people. And it just doesn't work for us. And it keeps us from some pain, but it brings on more pain than it prevents. And so, God, I pray that today we take our frailty, our weakness, our need to the proper place, the place it was created for you. Thank you for this offer you make repeatedly throughout the Bible to us. I'll be your refuge. I'll be your hiding place. I'll be your safe place. You know, if you get hurt in life, if you get offended, if you get rejected, if you get betrayed, if you get judged, come to me. It will build our relationship as we work through it together. God, thank you for that offer. And I pray in these next few moments, a bunch of us take you up on it. And it begins a new path for us in life. Thanks that you love us, God, at our dirtiest. Thanks for Jesus and for community as a reminder of what he did for us. We pray in his name. Amen.